Today we're going to speak around the word, and I call it the never-ending word, commitment. Words like commitment, covenant, pledge, vow, accountability, loyalty are really scary to a lot of folks. And because it speaks to our self-centeredness as well. What about me? What about my rights? What about my life? What about my fun? What about my freedom? Even marriage, people prefer to live together than committing to marriage because it's easier to leave the relationship if that commitment level's not so high. I remember back in the day when I was getting married, the only marriage counseling I ever heard was, "You'll be sorry." Or did you know it's a life sentence? There's always this sense of commitment was a scary thing. And the reason this is because people see the cost of commitment rather than the benefits of commitment. And the truth is, the benefits of commitment always outweigh the cost of commitment. The only thing that really suffers in commitment is selfishness or self-centeredness. And this is what's so amazing, is that when those two things suffer, you actually become more, you receive more, you strengthen your life, and you strengthen the commitment to the relationship you're in. Commitment to a person, a commitment to a family, commitment to church, a commitment to God has incredible benefits. When I first was going out with Lee and we decided to get married, I had a terrible dilemma. I love surfing, and I love to go surfing when I wanted, at any time that seemed acceptable to me. And now I've got this problem because I love Lee, who's about to become my wife. Now I've got this thing happening that I love surfing. I love Lee. I love my space, and God's given me a space invader. So now it's a question of what do I do with this? And I decided, you know what? I'm going to have to lay one of these things down. And it was wasn't a big decision. I decided to, sell my surfboard. And so, you know what, I'm going to commit to my marriage. I'm going to commit to building that relationship. And I didn't make a big deal of it, like, "Hey, hon, look, I sold my surfboard so we could do," it wasn't that. It was quiet. I never told her. And I sold my surfboard, stopped surfing. And it must have been about a year later that she finally noticed that I wasn't surfing anymore, and then she said, "Hey, hon, what's going on? I thought you loved surfing." I said, "Yeah, I do, but I wanted to make sure that our relationship was strong." And she said, "Hey, why don't you go and buy yourself a new surfboard?" So being committed got me the surfboard and the girl. There are better benefits to commitment than you realize. Commitment has two parts to it. Let me just explain them to you. The first thing about commitment is that it's connected to part. It's where you're attached, you're chained to, you're yoked to. So there's this part of commitment that says, "Well, I'm in." And then once you say you're in, the second part of commitment is transference effect. In other words, whatever you commit to, whatever you chain yourself to, whatever you lock into, you transfer the power of that person or that thing, that relationship to you. See, whatever you abide in, whatever you're connected to, either strengthens you or it can weaken you. So number one, we want to make sure we're committing and connecting to the right things. Because if you commit and connect to the wrong things, the transference principle will devalue you. You'll end up in the wrong places doing the wrong things with the wrong people. So it's important then we look at who and what we're connected to. But once we've decided it's the right people, the right person maybe, the right church, then we should be in boots and all. Because what you connect to, you become like. In Scotland, in the 1500s, if you murdered somebody, they would chain the dead body around the murderer's shoulders. And eventually, of course, you're carrying the weight of a dead body. No one's coming near you. No one's feeding you. And eventually, you become like that which you were chained to. So we understand that what we connect to is really important. So if we connect to our spouse, our partner, our family, the house of God, to God, then we're connecting to the right places. We're committing to the right things. Talk about being committed and connected. I remember walking down one of the streets in San Francisco a number of years ago, and I watched this gothic couple coming towards me. They had the full black outfits and tattoos, and the guy had that cone hair that just sort of sticks straight up. They were very pale looking, and as I got closer, I could see they had piercings, nose rings and earrings, and but what really struck me was that as I got closer again, was they didn't just have nose rings. They actually had a chain between one nose ring, the guy, and to her nose ring. I mean, they were committed and connected and chained together. Of course, everything within me wanted to go, hey, look over there. But I'm a pastor and a believer, and I can't do that sort of thing. But they were committed and connected. I think that's what inseparable looks like. And if you're connected and committed to the right things and the right people, you will draw from them and gain from them, and you'll become stronger because of them. Connect to God, you become more like Him. Same thing. And don't think it doesn't apply to you. We can't help but commit somewhere. And if you're not committing to the right things, you'll commit to the wrong things. If you're not committed to somebody else, you'll commit to self-centeredness. We are designed to commit somewhere. So let's not be afraid of commitment. Let's decide to commit and trust God that He will see the right things happen in our lives. Commit to God and His church, and you'll be positioned to be stronger, and you'll be able to face life in a much more powerful position. Today I want to look at three great rewards of commitment to the purposes of God, to Him, and to His church. The first thing I know about committing to God and to His purposes is it produces faith, hope, and strength. I want to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And it's Paul speaking to us from a jail cell. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that these things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Here's Paul in jail. He finds himself with a bunch of other Christians that have been jailed for being Christians as well. They weren't doing so well. They lost a lot of hope and a lot of faith and a lot of strength. And then he shares that he is connected. He says, "My chains, my connectedness, my who I am is in Christ." And he said, "In that reason, I was able to stand strong in the jail. I was able to trust God. But not only was I able to trust God for myself, those around me got stronger. They were prepared to speak the word with boldness." And so Paul's commitment to Christ in tough times strengthens those around him, brings hope, faith to the believers that are in jail. It helps him deal with the issues that he's dealing with or the struggles in life. I know in my own life that my commitment to Christ has helped me stay strong in raging storms, against strong opposition. It strengthened me not to give up in those times, to see hope through the darkness, to see light at the end of the tunnel, to trust who He is, and to trust in He could do what He said He could do. Without commitment, people give up too easily in the face of disappointment and obstacles. And so not only does commitment strengthen us individually, it strengthens those around us. It's our example that makes an incredible difference to face their journey, to give them hope and faith and strength to trust God in their situation. You know, I've noted this, committed people inspire us. There's a sense when you see committed people, it makes you, you know, stand up and say, you know what, I can. Committed people challenge us. Again, as I look at committed people, there's a sense of, you know what, I will as well. Commitment gives us no room to have bad behavior. I think once you commit to the purposes of God and to His church, then bad behavior is no longer an option. Your example is so important. You can't be that person who's known for road rage in the parking lot. Yeah, you can't be known. You've got to know who you are and act accordingly and to be the example that Jesus has asked us to become. I remember going through the customs at airport security on my way out when we were flying back in the day, and something went off in my pocket, and there was nothing there, and then there was something else I worried about in my bag, so they took me to the side, and I remember having to stretch my arms out like this and put my feet apart, and the girl there with the wand was doing the thing to make sure that I had nothing wrong on me, and I said, "Is it all good?" And she looked at me and said, "Yeah, Pastor Mark, it's all good." And that was a great message last Sunday at church. I can't afford to have a bad example because it affects too many people. And I think commitment helps us stay strong in our example. I remember another time way back in the day, we just started our first church, and Lee and I were holidaying in New Zealand. And we're in a small little town with a very strange name. I think it's swearing in Australia, the way they pronounce it. And Lee had gone into a shop. I was standing outside. And a young couple came up to me and said, "Hey, you're Pastor Mark Ramsey. Well, we love City Point. We love your preaching. Thanks." And we talked for a while. And I remember Lee coming out of the store. And I told her, because I was quite like, "Oh, yeah. Look at me in this small little New Zealand town, and somebody recognized me." So I was feeling all pretty confident and like things, "Wow, look at this." And she said, "Really, in this small town, and somebody recognized you?" She said, "That's good news." And I said, "What do you mean it's good news?" And she said, "Well, if you ever decided to have an affair, you wouldn't be able to get away with it." So I said, "That's all you got out of that whole scenario was that now I can't get away with having an affair." I think we've got to get to a place where we understand that our example is everything to the people around us, and especially the people who don't know Jesus. And commitment is powerful, it's contagious, and it's inspirational. The other thing that I find out of commitment comes, it improves desired outcomes. It improves desired outcomes. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus says these words, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And again, the terminology is abiding. It's being chained to, it's being committed to, it's being connected to. Abide in him and you'll bear fruit. It's being committed and connected to the right people, the right places that helps us bear better fruit in our lives. Firstly, what you abide in, what you connect to, you draw from. You gain strength from. It's the transferable principle. Together, we are stronger. And I want to tell you, if the church brings anything to the table of life, it brings forth the sense of that together, we are better. Together, we are stronger. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says this, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him if he is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though he may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Here again, you sense the power of who God is as we understand the power of commitment and connection, that together we are stronger. Pastor Tim McDonald, one of our location pastors, is a free diver, and he can go incredible depths down under the sea, like ridiculous, a long way down. And I said, "Well, how far can you go?" He said, "Well, I actually can go deeper, but I don't do it because no one else can stay with me." He says, "You don't want to be that far down underwater alone." I want to tell you, there is strength in connectivity and being committed to one another. If you had a horse and they could pull this much weight, then you would think, well, if you had two horses, it could pull double that weight. But that's not correct. Though one horse can pull this much weight, a second horse doesn't pull double that weight, it pulls exponential amounts of weight. It's a synergy effect. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000 to flight. There's a sense that there's power in together. And when we're together, we are stronger. Being connected and committed improves our desired outcomes in life. And the last thing I want to speak to you today about is that I know this, that commitment brings rest and it brings peace to your soul. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Peace and rest don't come by doing what you want. Peace and rest don't come by being by yourself or being independent. The Bible says that peace and rest comes when we yoke ourselves, when we commit ourselves, when we connect to Jesus. I remember when I read the scripture when I was a new believer, and I was reading about this yoke, and understand that in this scripture, the Bible, in the Bible, it talks about the yoke of Jesus. And I know it's not a yoke, but it's the teaching of Jesus. So what he's saying, apply my teaching to you and you will find peace and rest to your souls. But I didn't know that at the time. And when I saw the word yoke, I again thought of two oxen being put under a yoke together. And I still remember this picture as I was thinking about that. I saw myself and Jesus kneeling next to each other. And I saw this yoke being put over our shoulders. Now I'm connected, I'm committed to Jesus, and I'm wearing his yoke. And then we both stood up together. And it was like he was just this much taller than me. And so the weight of the yoke, even though it was on me, was lifted from my shoulders. I felt peace and I felt rest. He was carrying the weight of my life, the weight of my past, the weight of my future. I want to tell you today that when you yoke yourself to Jesus, there are peace and rest available to you. It's in that sense of knowing who we're yoked to. Peace and rest does not come from being independent and doing it your way. It comes from knowing him and doing it his way. Put that on, put that teaching around your life, and you will find peace and rest for your soul. If you yoke yourself to the local church and being connected to other people, you'll find peace and rest because you're not alone. You're not doing life by yourself. Everybody feels safer when they are not alone. I remember my kids, when they were scared, they would always get into mum and dad's bed because they felt safer when they weren't alone. And you know that if you're alone in a house, how you hear every little noise. I mean, you can be in that house with other people and hear nothing, but when you're alone, you hear every little creak, every bang, every sort of thing. There is an intuitiveness in us to know that when we are together, we are safer, there's more peace and rest around our soul. Even gang mentality works on that. Gang members aren't so tough by themselves, but they're tough when they're in their gang. And that's how I feel, knowing that heaven backs me, that I'm not by myself, that God is with me, that the power of heaven is on my side. It gives me that sense of knowing that it's all going to be okay. See, being yoked, being connected, being committed brings peace and rest to your soul amongst the stressful, uncertain world that we live in. Remember this, peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. It's not as though we're going to wake up one day and not have an issue or something to face. If you're waiting for peace to come when you have no problems, you're going to be waiting a really long time. But if you yoke yourself to Jesus, he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," and you're going to feel that inside peace start to radiate out of your soul. And so it's important we don't shy away from being committed to God and committed to his people. Commitment doesn't bring restrictions or loss. Commitment doesn't bring dull and boring. It brings freedom, it brings life, it brings adventure, it brings purpose, it brings love, it brings rest, and it brings peace. Today, can I speak to you and say, decide to be committed to your family, your spouse, to the people of God, and to the house of God. Be committed unto him, and you will see the wonder of Jesus. I want to tell you, today, you might need to know that if you come to Jesus, your burden will be light. If you come to Him, your life can change in a moment. The Bible speaks very clearly that if we connect ourselves to the King, He says it like this, that if you believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, you can come to Him and that peace that you're missing will return. That hope that's no longer there can come back. Today, would you believe upon Him? I would really ask you in this moment to say, you know what? You've been lied to about commitment. Well, if I commit myself to Christ, I can't. I won't be able to do this. No. If you commit yourself to Christ, you will be able to do so much more than you ever expected. Your life will be better than you ever thought possible. It takes a moment to decide, and we're going to help you be all that God's called you to be. So we'd love to think about, I'd love you to think about the possibility of right now deciding to make that decision for Jesus. So would you right now reach out in your heart and say, you know what, God, I'm coming back. I'm going to commit myself to Jesus. I'm going to believe upon Him, and I'm going to accept my salvation. I'm going to accept that my sins and failures are no longer remembered. They're forgiven and washed by the blood of Jesus, and that my future is with You now and for all of eternity. I'm excited for every one of you. I know heaven, man, throws a party when one person returns. So that could be you today. God bless. We'll see you all very soon.